sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym, we do training. Sometimes I want more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino star Manny Pacquiao fights again Saturday night when he takes on American Jesse Vargas in Las Vegas, Nevada. The 27-year-old Vargas will be defending his WBO welterweight title. He has a record of 27 wins and one loss with 10 knockouts. Pacquiao is 10 years older and much more experienced, with world titles in a record 8 different weight classes. The Pac-Man's professional record, 58 victories, 6 defeats, and 2 draws with 38 knockouts. This will be Pac-Man's first fight since April 9th, when he scored a unanimous decision victory over American Timothy Bradley in the culmination of their trilogy. Vargas, meanwhile, suffered his only loss to Bradley last year, but that bout ended in controversy. Vargas landed a jarring blow, and then referee Pat Russell stepped between the fighters in the closing seconds of the final round and began waving his hands as if calling for a stoppage. Russell later admitted he mistakenly thought the round had ended. But that was then, and this is now. At the final pre-fight news conference, Jesse Vargas said he's had an excellent training camp and he's prepared for Pacquiao.
We have overexceeded every aspect in training when it comes to speed, power, intelligence in the ring, ring savvy. You know, we have a strong hook, we have a strong right. You know, so either way, you know, if he wants to sneak over to the right, we'll catch him there. If he wants to sneak over to the left, we'll get him there. You know, so we're ready. We're ready. I can't be any more ready than this. You know. It's at the perfect time. I've wanted this fight for quite some time now. And why? Because Manny was known as the best. You know, and in order to be known as the best, you have to beat the best. And that's the reason why I wanted this fight. I respect Manny as a person, as a fighter, and I'm sure that he's going to make for a great senator.
We just heard Jesse Vargas say Manny Pacquiao will be a great senator. In fact, this will be Pacquiao's first bout since he was elected as a senator in the Philippines in June.
It's going to be a historical fight because this is my first fight being a senator. I mean, I tell you this, don't do this. You know, being a senator and a fighter is not easy if you don't have discipline yourself.
With the Filipino Senate in recess, Manny Pacquiao has been able to focus his attention on getting ready for Jesse Vargas. The Pac-Man's trainer, Freddie Roach, has been working with him both in the Philippines and during the past few weeks in Los Angeles, California. Roach says the 37-year-old Pacquiao has not lost a bit of his speed and power. In Freddie's words, "I think he's hitting harder now than he ever did in his life." For his part, Pac-Man says he's looking forward to trading punches with Vargas, and he wants to put on a good show for the fans.
I'm so excited for this Saturday. I'm sure that it's going to be a good fight. more action in the ring, because I've been there, I feel what he's feeling, and that's why I prepared for this training, that I have to prepare myself, because I know the hungerness of my opponent, and I'm ready for that. And what we're trying to do is to entertain people, nothing personal, we're just doing our job, and I'm challenging. It's an honor for me to challenge a champion, and he's a champion. He's a champion, he's defending his belt, and we respect that, and I'm a challenger. So may the best man win on Saturday. I'm praying for the Lord that everyone who goes to fight on Saturday will be safe, nothing to worry about, and everything will be smooth and happy. I'm sure that the fans will be happy.
Manny Pacquiao says he plans to continue fighting beyond Saturday night, and even mentioned the possibility of a rematch with Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Like I always say, for every fight, everybody had a game plan. As of right now, there's not a blueprint on how to beat Floyd Mayweather. No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code.
No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code. And Pac-Man couldn't break it when he fought Mayweather in May of 2015. Pacquiao lost via unanimous decision. And Pac-Man later revealed he fought with a right shoulder injury. That mega bout shattered pay-per-view sales records and earned Pac-Man a reported $150 million in prize money. So don't rule out a Pacquiao-Mayweather rematch. When it comes to prize fighting, VOA boxing fans, let's face it, it often comes down to what wide receiver Rod Tidwell said in the 1996 movie Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Friday, you'll see a nice article from Washington Post sports writer Gene Wang previewing Saturday night's Manny Pacquiao-Jesse Vargas title fight in Las Vegas. Now let's go to the Windy City of Chicago, where there have been big celebrations this week following the World Series baseball title, the first in 108 years by the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs beat the Cleveland Indians 4-3 in a dramatic and hotly contested World Series that's being described as one of the best ever. The loss was a big blow for Cleveland fans, who won their last World Series title way back in 1948. As VOA's Kane Fairbaugh reports from Cleveland, Indian fans are consoling themselves that their team at least reached baseball's premier event.
An unseasonable November heat wave during the final 2 games of the World Series brought huge crowds to Progressive Field, home of the Cleveland Indians.
A lot of our friends are coming down here that don't have tickets. They're just coming down for the spirit, the excitement.
Thankfully, Steve Lanik had a ticket. He'd waited a lifetime to get to this World Series game. He missed the last Major League Baseball title series in Cleveland in the 1990s, which they lost. So there was no way he was selling his ticket.
One of my best friends offered me what he called stupid money for our tickets. And I texted my son and we decided, nah, even stupid money is not going to get our tickets. We're coming down here to be part of it.
His son Michael is the one who scored the tickets at face value.
I think it's right now the hottest ticket in baseball in America.
The hottest ticket in America was part of a welcome reversal of fortune in Cleveland. The city had one of the longest sports championship droughts in America, and a list of incidents that put the city in a negative light.
I've seen it in the bad times when the river caught on fire and the mayor's hair caught on fire. A lot of fire in Cleveland. It's really turned around.
Cleveland rose to the national spotlight. First, as the home of the National Basketball Association champion Cleveland Cavaliers, or Cavs to fans.
The Cavs winning, that kind of stopped that losing nature that prevailed in the city for so long.
This year, Cleveland also made it to baseball's World Series, a place few people who live here expected when the season began, says Cleveland Plain Dealer columnist Ted Diadin.
This year is a blessing. It's a surprise.
I mean, how often does this happen? Being Cleveland my whole life, usually we're the ones that get laughed at.
And, you know, we've had to suck up a whole lot of disappointments over the years, and they're all well documented. So this is a chance for us to show off and really revel in something that seems to be going right. Whether the Indians win or lose, it's been a tremendous season.
A tremendous season that ultimately ended in disappointment as the Indians fell to the Chicago Cubs in Game 7 of the World Series, 8-7 in 10 innings. While Cleveland's World Series dreams were dashed by the Cubs' historic run to the title, their first in 108 years, Cleveland fans look to next year.
No one expected the Indians to do what they did this year, but they are a young team. They're exciting. They play exciting baseball.
Exciting baseball, Lanik hopes, fills more seats at Progressive Field when the regular season for Major League Baseball begins next April. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Cleveland, Ohio.
Thanks, Kane. From Cleveland, let's go to New York, where the city will stage its annual marathon on Sunday. Security will be very tight during the race, which will have its defending men's and women's champions back on the start line. Kenyan athletes Stanley Biwott and Mary Keitany hope to achieve more marathon glory when they line up near the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Stanley was the overall winner last year in New York, where he clocked 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 34 seconds. And Mary Keitany is aiming for a third consecutive women's title in New York. Mary's winning time last year, 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 25 seconds. Meanwhile, Martin Kosgei finished second behind fellow Kenyan Mark Correa at the recent Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kosgei after the race. Here's Andy.
One of the surprises of the Minova Frankfurt Marathon 2016 was the second place for Kenya's Martin Kosgei, who's one of those training in Kapsabet, one of the hotbeds of training camps in Kenya. And he himself has just said to me before we started the tape rolling that he was really delighted and surprised with his performance. So, Martin, tell me, you took a big chunk of your personal best, you know, about 2 minutes today.
Yeah.
Was that expected?
Yes, I expected because before this race I was in shape, so I knew this is a very flat course, possible for the personal best, and I aim high that I can run a personal best here in Frankfurt because I know Frankfurt. 2014, I was the best maker for the second group here. I know the course. If I had prepared very well, that. This race, if the weather will be perfect, I will improve my personal best in Hannover, Germany, which is 2:09:50. Compared to the course of Hannover, compared to the course for the Frankfurt, here is faster. If I ran personal best in Hannover last year, 2:09:50, here, faster course, improve.
Well, but you sound like you want to be making a tour of German marathons. So you ran 2:07 today, and talking about being a pacemaker last year in Frankfurt, it sounds like you feel you've been promoted, you know, pacemaking, and now you're an outright racer. That's how it feels.
Yes, I feel very, very happy. I'm very happy, and I know here in Germany, since they say a marathon starts from Germany, they start a marathon in Germany. So I know I'm very happy to be in Germany because many people who have run here in Germany, they normally run their personal best. Like last year, race director told us last year 9 people who ran Frankfurt, 9 of them ran personal best, and they ran here in Frankfurt.
That's interesting that amongst you and your Kenyan running friends in the camp in Kapsabet, yes, people talk about races in Germany, Berlin, Frankfurt, yes, Hanover, and the other races. Yes. And Germany in general has a really high reputation for marathon running. That's a country you go to if you want to run fast and, yes, and earn prize money.
Many people in Kapsabet believe, and they know that marathon, to run marathon in Germany, you have to set your personal best. It's a must. It's a guarantee that when you run in Germany, guarantee. Like before, when I ran last year in Hannover, my personal best was 2:11:37, which I set in 2014 in Hannover for the fourth place. Then I come also again to Hannover last year. I improved 2:09. Now, like before, in 2012, let us say in 2012, I ran in Salzburg Marathon, the first marathon, and that was the first time for me in Europe. I ran in Salzburg Marathon 2:16. Then in the second season, October, I ran in Munster Marathon. Munster is in Germany. I ran 2:13:35, which is my personal best.
It really sounds as if Germany is the key to your development, and you are on the up. Well, congratulations, Martin Koskaj, yes, second in the Mainova Frankfurt Marathon 2016. You've chopped big chunks in the last couple of years off your personal best. You're a 2:07 man now. Yes. I look forward to seeing you even running faster. Thank you, Martin Koskaj. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks also to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview and his overall coverage at the recent Mainova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Friday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Happy Friday, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
I mentioned how there have been big celebrations in Chicago this week. Maybe the biggest taking place on this Friday.
Absolutely. Hashtag Cubs Parade as the victorious Chicago Cubs make their way through the city of Chicago on the backs of these double-decker buses. And when you go on social media and look at that hashtag Cubs Parade, you see this amazing video and photos. There's some aerial shots from one of the local TV stations that they tweeted out, and it was just a sea of Cubs blue. Hundreds of thousands of people flooding downtown Chicago to see their Chicago Cubs. First time, 108 years, as we've been saying all week. So there's been a lot of people waiting a long time. So there are a lot of people cramming in on the streets to watch. And as you look at those pictures, I noticed something interesting on the back of that double-decker bus where the players are, and that was several of the players had a selfie stick. And so they were passing that around, and sure enough, I went to Anthony Rizzo's Twitter account. Of course, he's the first baseman for the Cubs, and he took a selfie with the selfie stick and had that picture up on his Twitter account. So you can see all the crowds in the background. You can see him there holding the selfie stick. So a lot of excitement and a lot of great social media moments. Now, we talked about on the show yesterday one of the curses that came out of, kind of Cubs lore, the Steve Bartman, the gentleman who reached in and grabbed that ball that would have been caught for an out, and they said he cursed the Cubs, and he was, vilified by Cubs fans. Well, he released a statement through a representative and said, well, he's overjoyed that the Cubs have won, he will not be attending the parade. People were tweeting out saying, you know, the curse has been reversed. Let Steve Bartman lead the parade or be in the parade. So he said he'll be watching, but not there in person. So maybe for the best, and let some of the tensions continue to kind of simmer and fizzle out before
kind of,
he goes.
Kind of a diplomatic response there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Andrew, I mentioned how this 112th World Series, generally regarded as one of the best ever. Have there been any ratings in terms of the television viewership?
Absolutely. It's the final Game 7, which many on social media are saying is the greatest Game 7 in a World Series ever.
Mm.
That Game 7 attracted more than 40 million television viewers, and that makes it the most watched Major League Baseball game in 25 years. So a lot of people tuning in for this. Throughout the course of the week, it's the, I think, second most viewed World Series in modern times, second only to that 2004 World Series where the Boston Red Sox were trying to end their long curse, not having won a World Series since 1918. So lots of people tuning in knowing that a drought was going to be broken, whether it was the Cleveland Indians or Chicago Cubs, and they were not disappointed in that, especially if you're a Cubs fan. And the thing that I thought was very interesting, Game 5 on Sunday night actually beat Sunday Night Football. It was only the second time ever that a Major League Baseball game has done better in the TV ratings than football. So it's maybe shows that we've talked about an NFL being the no-fun league, how some of their ratings have declined. That kind of puts this into stark comparison and shows that, at least for this week, baseball reigns supreme as the national pastime in the U.S. as opposed to American football.
And American football, the National Football League, I think it's generally accepted probably the most popular sports league here in the United States. And yet, Major League Baseball made some inroads with this World Series.
Absolutely. I think there's just the excitement of these two teams trying to end these droughts, I think, drew a lot of people in. People every year, if their team isn't in the World Series, maybe they don't watch it, or if the teams are ones that have won recently, they say, ah, it's not that exciting. But I knew people that weren't even baseball fans, not even sports fans, who said, I'm going to tune in tonight. I'm going to watch that Game 7. And that's why they had such huge numbers.
Huge numbers also expected in terms of both runners and security in New York City this weekend, Andrew. The annual New York City Marathon, is that trending?
Yeah, it is. We're seeing a lot of tweets going out for people preparing, picking up the bib, saying, oh my God, it's actually happening. I actually have to run this weekend because I've got the bib and I've been preparing. So it's kind of sinking in for a lot of people. The New York City Police Department has actually been tweeting out some of the canine friends and that are going to monitor the course, some of the bomb-sniffing dogs and other security dogs that they'll have along the race route. Of course, after the Boston Marathon bombing several years ago, there's a lot of heightened security now at these events and concerns. But the other thing that we're seeing a lot of is a lot of the stars and big names who are running the marathon for some good causes. And one of them is David Nelson. He's a former member of my New York Jets football team,
okay,
speaking of American football. And he's actually going to be running the marathon with his brothers for an organization that supports children who are orphaned. And they're going to be raising tens of thousands of dollars for that cause. So that's a nice cause and a famous name that'll be doing that. Another famous name is Will Reeve. Now, he's known as the son of Christopher Reeve, of course, the actor.
Superman.
Who was known for playing Superman, who was injured and paralyzed in a horse riding accident and passed away. And he's running in honor of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. His mother, Dana Reeve, also passed away several years ago. So he's running for both of his parents and is going to raise funds for that foundation. The other interesting thing about Will Reeve is that he is actually a writer for ESPN, which is the sports network here in the United States. So he'll be running in the marathon, and also in his day job, he's connected to sports as well. But we're seeing a lot of these great stories, people running for these foundations, running to raise money, and even just running in memory of people who have passed on and other causes.
Well, we'll be eagerly watching what comes out of New York City on Sunday morning. Quite a spectacle there. They start near the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, and I always see that bridge almost shaking when all those runners go over it.
And growing up in New York, it's an event. They show it on the TV. They have it, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. It is a major event for the city, so it'll be really fun to watch that and see how that turns out.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew, and
thanks
I'll
so
see,
much.
See you on Monday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the November 4th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Power Africa, a U.S. government-led initiative launched by President Barack Obama in 2013, has a new partnership arrangement with the Nile Basin, or NBI, and the Nile Equatorial Lakes Subsidiary Action Program, or NELSAP. Focused on increasing regional power interconnections and generation among the Nile Equatorial Lakes countries. The Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and NBI, signed by the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat, centers on collaboration, funding, and technical assistance for regional power generation among the participating Nile Basin countries. We are thrilled now to be working more closely with the United States government and USAID to increase access to renewable energy for people across the Nile Basin region and all of East Africa, said Innocent Ntabana, Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat. This new partnership between the United States, NBI, and NELSAP builds on Power Africa's broad coalition of public and private sector partners and will help accelerate progress towards our shared goal of doubling access to electricity in sub-Saharan Africa by 2030. Taylor Ruggles, the U.S. Department of State's Regional Energy Counselor for Africa, said regional integration is more important than ever, and this MOU signals a strong message to the people and governments of the region that we take the issue of energy access and connectivity seriously and are committed to making the East African power pool a reality. Power Africa's goals are to increase electricity access in sub-Saharan Africa by adding more than 30,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation capacity and 60 million new home and business connections. The Nile Basin Initiative is a regional intergovernmental partnership launched by the Nile Basin countries in 1999 to manage and develop the shared Nile Basin water resources in a cooperative manner, share substantial socioeconomic benefits, and promote regional peace and security. There are 10 NBI member states: Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said, "NELSAP plays an important role in promoting sound regional infrastructure development and regional integration, and I am certain that this partnership will advance our common commitment to electrifying the Nile Basin region."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here. Only the best on VOA Africa.
On November 8th, American citizens will exercise their right to vote and choose their next president. VOA is providing comprehensive coverage of this unique democratic process. Who is going to earn the trust of the American people to lead the nation for the next 4 years? Find out right here on VOA.